These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price.
Hello, football fans. Welcome to the cold, hard football facts. I am your friendly neighborhood potentate of pigskin, Kerry J. Byrne, coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios deep inside Gillette Stadium. We got a pretty exciting show lined up this week. As always, we're going to tackle plenty of football, a little tailgating. Our special guest this week is former Patriots great Drew Bledsoe, who not only was a pivotal character in the kind of the transition, if you will, from the Patriots, a second-rate franchise, to the dynasty that we know today. And I find it fascinating. He's still kind of so beloved in Boston. It's hard to find someone who's not a big Drew Bledsoe fan around here, even if things for him probably didn't end the way he anticipated. So he's going to be one of the stars of the show. We're going to talk a little bit about his winery. He's actually in the winemaking business now. And as you may know, I'm kind of a big foodie, love food, love drink, and want to talk a little bit, not only football, but about wine and food and maybe some of the best places to eat in Boston, where he used to dine all the time when he was here. I am joined, as always, by not only my sidekick, but the voice of God, Patrick Immig. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to carve a jack-o'-lantern and turn it into a beer keg, I think.
We have, I just said how we like to, do a little tailgating, talk food, and besides football, we have a pretty neat story on Cold Hard Football Facts this week, and Forearm Shiver, which is our Cold Hard Football Facts blog, which I think is a pretty neat name for a blog. But tell us a little bit about it, Pat. It's a Patriots fan who turns a pumpkin into a beer keg.
Yeah, basically, it's really what every man should strive for in the autumn season. He's managed to actually turn the pumpkin into a keg. It's not just that it's like shaped like a keg. He's actually letting the beer sit for about I guess it says an hour, but that I would assume that gives him some nice flavor. And then he just, pours it out like a normal tap, and voila, he's got an autumn spiced craft beer that I think would probably looks really tasty. I actually want to try this myself.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. I got a pig roast coming up next weekend, and I am going to do this. And the guy's name is Michael Gabriel, who's a hardcore Patriots fan. He follows us on Facebook and on Twitter, and I've met him personally around town and don't know him too well, but he's a great guy, great football fan, and he kind of turned me on to it. So we wrote about it this week on Cold Hard Football Facts, that a pumpkin makes a perfect tailgate party keg. Also wrote about it in the Boston Herald today, where I kind of dabble in beer and food from time to time. But, sticks a tap in the bottom and pulls it, a homebrew tap in the bottom of the keg, bottom of the pumpkin, and pulls the beer out. So I got to say that, that is pretty ingenious, Pat. And I'm sorry I did not think of it before he did.
Yeah, I think it's what's also worthy of reading the little story is just from the standpoint that most people think pumpkins are vegetables, but pumpkins are actually fruits. Isn't that correct?
Pumpkins are fruit, and I wrote a story about pumpkins a week or two ago with the holiday, holiday season here. And by the way, Patrick, I got to tell you, it is. I'm here in Gillette Stadium. I know you're in St. Louis, but the trees around here are a blaze in color. It finally feels like fall here. It's just a beautiful time to be in New England. Definitely gets you excited for football, especially with the Patriots having such a big win over the Broncos on Sunday. And, of course, we're going to dive in, talk a bit about, that big game against Denver and the big game coming up in Seattle. But it definitely feels like football season. And when I saw this, when I saw the pumpkin as a beer keg, I said, that's going to be at my next party. I got to do this. And like I said, sorry, I did not think of it before he did. And by the way, we've got a lot else coming up besides talking beer and wine with Drew Bledsoe and football and pumpkins and in the fall season, which is exploding here in New England. Got a lot of big news going on. A lot of things have taken place this week in the football world. A lot of big games coming up. And by the way, Alex Karras died, Patrick. I don't know if you heard this story, but I was, obviously he's one of these guys who was involved in the lawsuits against the NFL. He had dementia in his later life, and I don't know his exact age off the top of my head. I know he was in his 70s.
77, I believe.
77, so, he was not a kid anymore, and a lot of people at 77 do get dementia. It's not, it's hard to pinpoint that and say it's a direct result of his football career, but I was kind of an Alex Karras fan. I wasn't old enough to remember him playing, but I was old enough to remember reading his biography in like second grade, Pat. He was such a big star in football that I read all the biographies in the '70s of all the big stars. I remember Joe Namath, Ray Nitschke, Alex Karras, all these kind of histories of these great football players of the '60s. And he was one who stood out to me, and he was just kind of a big personality, and I don't know how much you know about him, but I'm always surprised he wasn't in the Hall of Fame. He's one of those guys like Jerry Kramer, the great Packers guy. When you know so much about him growing up, you say, why wasn't this guy in the Hall of Fame?
Could it be because he played for the Detroit Lions?
That could...
I agree. Maybe the Veterans Committee is not impressed with the TV show Webster.
That could be it too. That might be it, which is kind of interesting because he did have the career that most people, you know, you're a little bit younger than me, maybe a lot younger than me, but you know, people from the 80s, people who were teenagers in the 80s or younger, remember him as a kind of the fatherly figure in Webster, and probably don't even know that he was a great football player. But yeah, he did. You're right, Pat. And not to pile on the Detroit Lions, but obviously their history is pretty pathetic. And I don't know how many winning teams he played on. I know when Joe Schmidt, who was a great linebacker for the Lions back in the '50s and sixties, when Joe Schmidt was the coach in the '70s, late '60s, early '70s, the Lions had a couple good teams. I know they went to the playoffs in 1970, but other than that, I mean, this is a bad franchise even then. And I think Alex Karras missed the glory years. The Bobby Lane, when Bobby Lane was quarterback, missed kind of the glory years when they were a competitive team and won a couple championships in the 1950s.
Yeah, and the fact that he kind of transcended from football into the pop culture world too, that would be a reason for people my age and younger to wonder why he isn't more revered in football circles, because you would assume most of the guys who did, you know, make that foray into the world of acting and stuff, Jim Brown, Lyle Elzado to a certain extent.
Yep.
Everybody knows them. Alex Karras is kind of the forgotten one out of the bunch.
By the way, you're a resident wrestling expert. Didn't Lyle Elzado actually wrestle at one point?
Yes, I believe he did. And there's probably a steroids joke to make there too.
I don't know. My growing up when I was in the 80s, remember the what were they called? The Samoan brothers?
The Wild Samoans, yeah.
The Wild Samoans. The story in my neighborhood was that they were a couple Italian brothers from the North End, which is the Italian neighborhood of Boston.
This sounds like it's already starting to become a musical.
It absolutely is. So, all right. Well, listen, we also got coming up, and actually very shortly, Russell Baxter, coldhardfootballfacts.com contributor, Russell Baxter, who is a font of football knowledge. He's the former NFL statistician for ESPN, always has great material, does his Cold Hard Football Facts column for us each Thursday, brings the stats, brings the data, brings plenty of stuff. We're going to talk to him. In a little while, we're going to hear from Frankie C., our favorite caller. And by the way, if you want to call in, the number here at the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com, and tweet us, or as we like to say here, Twitter us, at Football Facts. That's just at Football Facts. And the one question I have for you Patriots fans and other football fans, are you comfortable with this Patriots defense? I know the Patriots beat the Denver Broncos, and we talk about this all the time, but their defensive passer rating, a key stat. They're still a very poor pass defense. The Patriots, a very poor pass defense. I don't think they look too hard against Peyton Manning, and I think the standards here in New England are pretty low for what passes for a good pass defense. So are you comfortable with the Patriots pass defense? Do you think they can win a Super Bowl with this defense as constructive? So call us about that topic at 508-298-0398. Tweet us at Football Facts, or again, email us webradio@patriots.com. And I think we got a little time here, Pat, for our icy issues. What are we talking about this week?
Okay, well, here's a good one for you. Based off of the news that Brian Khalil has a Lisfranc injury and might be done for the season, the curse of Super Bowl guaranteed newspaper ads is now worse than the Madden cover jinx.
Is it worse than the curse of Doug Flutie? That's the other question. Well, I would say that is a cold, hard football fact. You know, football fans remember Ryan Khalil took out a big ad, what, in August maybe, in the Charlotte newspaper, declaring the Panthers would win the – did he say they'd win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl?
Oh, he said win. He said in the end it'll be Super Bowl champion. So,
well, you know
– and he said because we have to.
Well, that's there's probably, 32 centers on 32 teams thinking the same thing. And, listen, you got to be, it's a tough league, a lot of tough competitors. And when you stick your neck out like that, you're bound to get beat back a little bit. Nobody wishes him an injury. With that said, I don't think, let's bring it down to what he said. He should have done that. He should have said it. It's one thing to try to pump up your team. But what we wrote at the time, we laughed at the notion because their defense was so bad last year. The Panthers had one of the worst pass defenses in football history last year. The reason they struggled so badly with Cam Newton having such a great season. And then, of course, this year, what happens? The defense is a little better, but Cam Newton has fallen apart. And we're starting to call him Scam Newton at the Cold Hard Football Facts. We're going to have a lot more on that in the weeks ahead about his record at fourth quarter comeback. So I agree, Pat, go on.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like it's a lot of volume with yards and everything, but they're not a lot of bang for the buck, so to speak.
No, I agree, which is why you got to look at those efficiency numbers, why passer rating is so important, because it takes into account, they're getting the ball downfield. Do you turn the ball over? Do you put the ball in the end zone? And right now the Panthers, Cam Newton's having a bad season. It's simple as that. And losing your center is not going to help things in Carolina.
No, that's not going to help. It never does anybody any favors. Your second icy issue, Roger Goodell is abusing his power by basically turning his back on previous words and serving out the punishments for the Saints players on the bounty scandal.
Well, listen, we the Cold Hard Football Facts are not fans of Roger Goodell. We call him the Gridiron Godfather because when he came into the league, he started whacking everybody who crossed him. You look at early in his career when he came in, everyone from Pac-Man Jones, we did a whole story on it, and he just whacks anybody who crosses him. He's ruined careers, taken people out. He's ruined the season for the New Orleans Saints this year. I think it is a cold hard football fact that one, he abuses his power, and two, I think a bigger issue this week, Pat, I don't know if you saw the tweets by Clay or the Twitters by Clay Matthews this week, but after the Brian Cushing injury in the Houston game, Brian Cushing, the great Houston defender, is gone for the season now with a knee injury. And Clay Matthews said, why aren't we protecting defensive players? Why is it always about protecting offensive players? And I think he's got a legit point there. And he was pretty vocal about it. And I think there is a certain aspect of Roger Goodell. I don't know. I don't think he's fair in his use of his vast powers over the NFL. And the way he's almost vindictive, that's why we call him the Gridiron Godfather. We did a whole story on comparing his victims, Pat. I know you saw the story. The victims of the Gridiron Godfather to the victims of the Godfather, comparing all the people he's whacked to all the people that Michael Corleone whacked, and kind of the big climactic scene was Roger Goodell, basically whacking everyone in the Saints organization, much like Michael Corleone took out all the five families when his godson was being christened.
Hey, don't cross the boss, and I'll tell you right now, if my feed cuts out here and I'm silenced, I'm going to go ahead and suspect that Goodell's listening right now. He's got a snooper. He's got a snooper of some kind, and he's gonna take us down if we continue to speak the truth.
If you don't hear from me after the show, Patrick, you'll know why. So,
well, just make sure that you write me in the will for your buffalo wings.
Hey, by the way, can I just run while we're talking about it? Okay, here's the story: Gridiron Godfather, Roger Goodell's wave of vengeance, and this was in the immediate aftermath of him taking out everyone from the New Orleans organization. So, whacked by the Godfather, Captain McCluskey and Virgil Salazzo. Remember when Michael walked into the Italian restaurant and blew away the corrupt cop and Salazzo?
Well,
the equivalent for the Gridiron Godfather was when he whacked Pac-Man Jones and Chris Henry. He's a new sheriff in town, the new Godfather, and he had to take people out to kind of prove his strength, prove who he was. Whacked by the Godfather, Carlo Rizzi. Remember his brother-in-law, the Godfather's brother-in-law, Carlo Rizzi? Whacked by the Godfather, yeah. Carlo Rizzi. Whacked by the Gridiron Godfather, Michael Vick. Carlo Rizzi was a two-bit criminal who beat women. Michael Vick was a two-bit criminal who beat dogs. We go on and on with all the people whacked by the Gridiron Godfather.
Well, let's whack on to another one. I didn't say that. Based off of preseason projections.
I want to say the immediate joke in the aftermath of the opposite of whack on, but I'll refuse to do that, Pat.
Yeah. Based off of preseason predictions and projections, the Kansas City Chiefs' current situation means Romeo Crennel is on the hot seat. Is that an icy? Is that a cold hard fact, or is that just a notion right now?
I think it's a cold hard football fact, and I like Romeo Crennel. I had high hopes for the Chiefs this year, and you know what? They came alive when he came on. What, the last three games? They won two of the last three, I believe it was, and they beat the Green Bay Packers. You know, I mean, that's a pretty solid win. The only loss for the Packers in a 15-1 season, but let's face it, Pat, they're that production's not here. You know, they're not, the production's nowhere in here in the 2012 season. In fact, if you look at the Chiefs as ranked by our quality stats here, they're one of the worst teams in football. They do nothing well, Pat, and I think it's very reasonable to suspect that he's on the hot seat right now, number 29 in our relativity index, talking about the Chiefs, you know, comparing how they perform relative to the quality of their opponents, number 31 in our quality stats power rankings, and dead last in passer rating differential, the most important stat in sports. They're the worst in football at that number. So it's not good. It's not good for Romeo Crennel, you know, an old friend of the Patriots here, but it's just not good. You know, it's a bottom line league and the results aren't good. So, Pat, why don't we do this? We got to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Cold Hard Football Facts and pro football guru, and pro football guru Russell Baxter. Always brings a ton of information, and we'll be back with him in a few minutes.
The Cold Hard Football Facts, crushing wayward opinions since 1869.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
All aboard!
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
I believe that is the theme to Webster, is it not, Patrick?
Webster with Alex Karras. Of course, Emmanuel Lewis played the role of Webster. And just one of the stereotypical or prototypical, I should say, family shows of the 80s. So.
I got to tell you, I was more of a Different Strokes guy than a Webster guy. I don't think I remember too many episodes of Webster.
Yeah, I'm more of a Full House kind of guy. Anyway,
yeah, that was your generation, I think. I think that was your
that few years extra later in the 80s. That's when I, you know, that Family Matters, things like that, A Different World, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All right, well, the bumper music from Webster gives us a chance to talk to Alex Karras with our good friend Russell Baxter, who I believe is on the phone. Russell, you with us?
Of course I am, Kerry, and I got to confess, I Love Lucy, My Three Sons, and Donna Reed kind of guy.
There you go. You're a little bit older than I am, Russell, I think. So let's talk about Alex Karras. We gotta dive into the Patriots and Broncos from last week and some games coming up. But we're obviously, this guy was kind of a big figure in NFL history. What do you know of Russell as kind of our preeminent historian at Cold Hard Football Facts? And folks, if you don't read his column, A Matter of Facts, each week on Cold Hard, you should do it. It's always packed with information. But what do you know anything? Do you remember watching
him?
What's that?
I said we will beat you if you don't read Russell's column.
Yeah, we'll be beatings dished out.
Those were Kevin's words, not mine. I claim the fifth. So.
Well, do you remember watching Alex Karras play? Are you old enough to have seen him play? Or?
Yeah, he was more the tail end of his career, barely at all. And you know, my biggest impact with Alex Karras was actually when he was on Monday Night Football. I think people forget that. He was sensational on Monday Night Football. Big personality. Just a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I remember reading a story in a book that Alex Karras told about playing against Big Daddy Lipscomb.
The great Steelers.
Massive. I mean, a guy now who that size back, what was that, 30, you know, like 40 years ago?
Yep.
Somebody that size now, but 40 years ago. I mean, just think about that. And if I remember the story right, he was really kind of getting manhandled by him, and I don't know if that was on special teams or whatever it was, but I think Alex told the story of how he was getting tired of being pushed around, and on the snap of the ball, and I'm guessing, because they were both defensive players, on the snap of the ball, he wheeled up and punched Big Daddy Lipscomb right in the face. Okay?
Yep.
And Big Daddy Lipscomb, in Alex Karras' words, didn't even blink. And apparently Alex Karras was looking for the official so he could get thrown out of the game.
Let me tell you, when I was a kid, I was telling Pat about this before you came on. I read Alex Karras's biography in, I don't know, 1977, 78, and when I read Ray Nitschke's biography, Joe Nay, all the big stars who were stars a little bit earlier, and, you know, now in the 70s, I'm reading their biographies. But I think that story was in his autobiography.
Okay.
I think that rings a bell with me. And by the way, talking about how big Big Daddy Lipscomb was, Alex Karras, one of the premier defensive tackles of his time, I'm looking at his height and weight right now on Pro Football Reference, 6'2", 248. He wouldn't even be big enough to be a linebacker today.
He might not even be big enough to be a tight end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
About. But I mean, listen, you know, for what you saw of him, and again, Taylor, I mean, he's just a tremendous competitor. Again, a bigger-than-life personality for a team. And, you know, it's, again, another memory of me for him, and I know there's Webster, and of course there's Mongo and Blazing Saddles. But on a football vein, he was also part of, well, it was a very special book, Paper Lion, written by George Plimpton.
Of course,
they made it into the movie. It was only natural that Alex Karras and a lot of the Lions played themselves in that movie, as a matter of fact. Lem Barney was a rookie and was in that movie as well. If you've never seen the movie with Alan Alda and Lauren Hutton, it's terrific. It was done with, you know, Joe Schmidt, who was the head coach at the time, Hall of Fame linebacker, and it's a good rental. It's a good find it. It's terrific, and it just shows you the rigors of professional football back then, which of course is a whole different game than it is
and
now.
And the story is George Plimpton tried out as quarterback for the Detroit Lions. That was the story,
yes,
right?
He did.
Yeah, Pat. Pat, there is hope for you. In your NFL career, he's going to write a book and play in the preseason for the
St. Louis Rams. Remember, they finally let it in a game. They were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it was in St. Louis. And he just kept going backwards. And I think at one time, I believe he knocked himself out by running into his own goalpost. And that's at least how it was portrayed in the movie. And as you remember, back then, before 1974, change in 1974, that's when the goalposts were on the goal line.
Yep.
Not move 10 yards back in the back of the end zone. So it was a comedy. I'm telling you, it's worth it to watch, to rent it. I was going to say the VHS, but just find it, okay? It's probably not in Redbox, but you can find it online. And wherever you can find it, it's definitely worth it. And if you don't, grab the book.
See, I love those old football movies. I'm a guy in August who will sit up and watch, like, Newt Rockne All-American in the middle of August waiting for football season. And
what about number one?
I don't know that. What is that?
Charlton Heston?
No.
Oh, you'll have to check that out.
All right, I'll have to check it out. All right, well, a couple final Alex Karras, cold hard football facts, and I know Pat has a couple of questions for you about contemporary football, but number two in the Heisman Trophy voting in 1957, which I think is pretty impressive. He was that good of a ball player at Iowa that he came in number two in the Heisman voting. Chuck Bednarik and a couple other guys are in the short list of linemen who have finished so highly in their careers. And he never missed a game until once in his final year. He was an NFL Ironman playing defensive tackle in that rough and tumble day and age. So great ball player, and it's a sad loss for the NFL. And now let's move forward to some contemporary football. I know, Pat, did you have a couple of questions for Russell?
With the you know, everybody's been hyping the Texans, and for good reason. But now with Brian Cushing out, Russell, what do you see? What do you see for the Texans for the rest of the year? Is this something that's going to hamper their defense, like, to a serious extent?
Well, you know, as we have found out in the past, where they, you know, a couple years ago they played without him in the first four games because of the suspension, and of course last year we saw this team that was so resilient. You know, Andre Johnson most of the year. Mario Williams missed the last 11 games. Of course, Matt Schaub and then Matt Leinart went down. It was so funny because they were so beat up last year, and then they finally won a division title. And I think they'll find a way to adjust here because, you know, the difference between the Texans of their first 9 years and the Texans now, a large credit has to go to Wade Phillips and what he has done with that defense. You know, I always like to throw out this number that you go back to 2010, which was the year before Wade got there, and their defense, you know, that was a year, remember, in 2009 they went 9-7, and a lot of people were excited that was going to be their breakthrough year. In 2010, their defense was simply horrible. They wound up giving up, and I know Kerry likes overall touchdowns, but I'm going to throw out offensive touchdowns, but They gave up 427 points and 49 offensive touchdowns in 2010. Now, 33 of those 49 were touchdown passes. Them and the Cowboys gave up the most touchdown passes.
Yeah.
If you go with the 21 regular season games under Wade Phillips, they've given up 32 offensive touchdowns, 17 fewer, in five more games. And only 351 points. They destroy teams in the first half. I don't know what it is about them in the first half. They've done it this year. The first half alone this year, they've outscored teams 93-28, and they've only given up two touchdowns in the first half. And it was very much like that as well last year. So I think they will adjust without him because of Wade Phillips. If Wade Phillips wasn't there, I think it'd be a little tougher. But, boy, they're awfully talented, a lot more talented they were. And I think, you know, it's funny, their closest calls have been against the Broncos and the Jets, 2 6-point wins, and yet in some ways I think those have been their most impressive victories because they made plays in those games to preserve victory.
Yeah, Russell, I wrote about this last year on Cold Hard and on Sports Illustrated that Wade Phillips was the coach of the year, not assistant coach of the year, the coach of the year in the NFL. I mean, the turnaround he precipitated coming into Houston before the 2011 season, that was arguably the greatest turnaround, defensive turnaround, one-year turnaround, NFL history. When you look at it, you know, from points, like you ran some of the numbers a moment ago, but you look at it by, you know, all the numbers we look at Cold Hard Football Facts and, you know, defensive passer rating, all the things we like to talk about, defensive hog index. This was a dramatic turnaround. This is what I wrote in, I'm looking at it right now, November 9th, 2011. Thanks to Wade Phillips, Texans are in championship position. That was last November, and they just improved by every measure. I mean, he's done. I don't know if he's ever been that good a coach before coming to Houston, Russell.
Well, I mean, listen, he's had his stint as head coaches. He's also had his stint as coordinators. You've heard it so many times that some guys wind up just being better coordinators than the new head coaches.
Yep.
And he might be, you know, his class. Marion Campbell comes to mind as another classic example. You know, Bud Carson was one of the great defensive coordinators ever. Had 1 year he got the Browns to the AFC Championship game, and then they went 3-13 the year after. But let me throw out one other thing historically about Houston and the impact that Wade Phillips has made. Their first 9 years in the league, they gave up at least 320 points in each of those first 9 seasons.
Yep.
And I know that sounds like a random number, but the significance is that in each of those first 9 seasons, that means they gave up at least 20 points per game for 9 straight years. And then last year, they knocked that down significantly. So, I mean, you know, last year, it was just an astounding turnaround with some of the same talent. And I questioned what was going to happen with it this year, almost on a leadership point of view, okay? It's one thing that Mario Williams hurt, and it's another thing for him to be completely gone. It's another thing to have D'Amico Ryans banged up and then to be completely gone. And I also throw in the Eric Winston, the decision to let Eric Winston go. And I bring up those three guys because along with Owen Daniels, those four guys were all drafted in 2006. That's a heck of a draft.
Yep.
Which was Kubiak's first year there. And those guys are the cornerstones. And you see a lot with these championship themes in this era of free agency. You don't buy championships. You have the cornerstones set up by the draft. You plug a few holes. You make a few trades. But the core group, and they really kind of got rid of their core group. And yet now they look like a very, very confident football team that even when they don't play spot on, okay? And listen, Mark Sanchez hit them for some big plays in the secondary the other night. But they made the plays when they had to, and their running game is just off the charts.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of running game, because one team has a historic running game right now, who are you more impressed with going into week 6, the Texans, the Falcons, or the 49ers? I think, unless it's someone else you're looking at, but I think in most the eyes of most observers, those are the three top teams in football right now. Who are you most impressed with of that three, or is there another one we're overlooking right now?
No, I think it's San Francisco still.
Yep.
And, you know, it just, you want to talk about taking a loss personal. You know, the most surprising thing about Minnesota beating San Francisco was not the fact that Minnesota won the game. It was the fact that Minnesota ran the ball on San Francisco. You just don't see that. You haven't seen that And I think the Niners have been a little upset since then because they beat the Jets and Bills 79-3.
And can I tell you what and we didn't talk about this ahead of time. This is a matter of great minds thinking alike, Russell, and so do ours, apparently. But my line in Sports Illustrated this week about the 49ers, San Francisco's 24-13 week three loss at Minnesota appears to have been just what Dr. Jim Harbaugh ordered, a big whiff of statistical smelling salts to awake his sleeping giant. And I think that loss, I didn't put it in terms of person, you know, taking it personally, but the same result, this team has been out of its mind since that loss to Minnesota, which we now know is a pretty good Minnesota team, by the way. And they've never, right now, they've outscored their last two opponents by 77 points. The last team I can find that did that was the 1985 Bears, who beat the Cowboys and Falcons in consecutive
weeks. I want to say 44-0 and 36-0.
You're a genius, Russell. That's why we have you on. They beat the Cowboys 44-0 and the Falcons 36-0. That's right. The last two games in November, and then what happened in the first week of December? They went to Miami and ran out of steam, and their one loss in perhaps the greatest Monday Night Football game of all time to Dan Marino and the Dolphins, preserving the legacy of the 1972 undefeated Dolphins. But you're right, that's the last time I can find that a team won so impressively 2 weeks in a row. That's over a quarter century ago, Russell.
Yeah, and that Dallas game I remember because it was a feature on Sports Illustrated, and they beat the Cowboys 44-0 in Dallas.
Yep.
In Dallas, and that was a 1985 team that did go to the playoffs. As a matter of fact. So, you know, that wasn't a bad Dallas team. They got knocked out by the Rams and Eric Dickerson's 248 yards rushing, as a matter of fact, which is still the postseason record. But
what was the temperature that day, Russell? Huh? What was the temperature that day?
It was a little cold if you were the Cowboys.
It's just your mind for detail was impressive, I got to admit. So.
Well, I'm afraid, and I'm in the midst of getting ready the shameless plug this week's column, and I just got done writing. Am I allowed to tease and tell you what I wrote?
Yeah, tease what you got. Coming up tomorrow on Cold Hard Football.
You and I are thinking the same way on Jim Harbaugh, but I wrote the people that he tapped his inner Bruce Banner, as in Bill Bixby in The Incredible Hulk.
Wow, that's more of a Patrick Himmig reference, I think. I think you'd appreciate it.
Well, what it is you don't want to see me mad. And apparently they were a little upset. So,
well, it sounds like we were thinking like that. Real quick, we got to go to a break in a second, Russell. But the Patriots, a big win over the Broncos, over Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Looking at our numbers, I still don't think this team is Super Bowl caliber defensively. What are your immediate thoughts about the Patriots right now?
I agree. You know, for a while there, remember 3 years ago when it was 4th and 2 at Indianapolis?
Yep.
I thought we were going to be talk about 4th and 5. I'm still trying to figure out why Bill, but I'll tell you what it is. Be it wins and losses against Peyton Manning, you can go back and look at this, Kerry. Peyton Manning has fallen behind Bill Belichick teams numerous times, even when he was a rookie.
Yep.
And Bill was with the Jets. And Peyton Manning always makes a run. And sometimes he catches them, and sometimes he doesn't. And once again, what did he do? He made a run. Okay, they didn't get it. Willis McGahee wound up fumbling. But let me tell you something, they would have blown that game. And everybody remembers 4th and 2. What they forget about 4th and 2 is New England was up 31-14 in that game.
See, but that's not just Peyton Manning. That's the problem, Russell. Everybody makes a run on the Patriots these days.
Well, no, but I'm talking about going back even.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Yep.
No, in your vein, I totally agree with you. I still don't see this off-the-charts defense. Now, if they're going to run for 200 yards a game and they're going to keep that defense off the field, that's great. But bottom line is, I know how many points they scored the last 2 weeks. They still gave up 28 and they still gave up 21. Okay? If you're going to make a living doing that, that's not the kind of defense that's going to win you a championship. We've seen Brady's numbers off the charts for roughly 5 years now. And when push comes to shove against the Giants, they can't stop the Giants in the final 2 or 3 minutes of a game.
Right now, looking at what was it? Was that Patrick? right now, Russell, looking at Peyton Manning's stats: 31 of 44, 345, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. That happens to the Patriots once in the postseason. They're done. You don't win that game. You don't win that game against a good team in the postseason. And
I agree. There's still some trepidation there, and I'm going to be really interested to see the defensive backs of the Seahawks this week against that receiving core. That's an excellent matchup up in Seattle in terms of offensive versus defense.
Yep. Well, we're going to talk a lot about that in the second hour. And, Russell, I appreciate your time here. We're going to run to a break. When we come down, when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk. Russell kind of set it up. The best pass defenses in football right now, the top five pass defenses, and then get into the Patriots, Seahawks. In the second hour, we'll talk to our old pal Frankie C. And we're going to talk to friend of the Patriots, Patriots Hall of Famer Drew Bledsoe, at 20 minutes past the hour. So we will talk to you guys on the other side of the break.
These are the cold, hard football facts.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Cold Fantasy Advice. I'm Barry Matthews with your Ice Cold Fantasy Advice for Week 6. This week, start Arian Foster. Foster is one of the best running backs in fantasy football and also one of the best running backs in real football. Don't start Cedric Benson. Benson is out 8 weeks with an injury to his lisfranc. The last time I had Benson on my team, he got arrested for driving his boat while intoxicated. What I'm trying to say is, Cedric Benson is a worthless sack of fantasy excrement. With your Ice Cold Fantasy Advice for Week 6, I'm Barry Matthews.
Patrick,
Maybe I just get drunk.
Patrick, we got to get this Barry Matthews on the staff. Why is he coming in from the outside with such scintillating advice?
We're outsourcing. It's cheaper that way.
That's a great segment, man. Ice cold fantasy advice. How many times has Cedric Benson been arrested anyway?
You know what? I don't think he's probably just twice. I think he's been in pretty good behavior the last 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was the last time he had a run-in with the law was before he started his Bengals career. So that was, 3 years ago?
That's a funny spot. Well, Barry Matthews, and I think we'll have him back on the next episode, I think, to some scintillating.
I'm sure he'll come through again, yeah.
The Patriots, Pat, as you know, are playing. They're traveling all the way to Seattle, which is famous for the 12th man. And we're going to talk in the second hour when we dive into the specific details of the game about how that 12th man is a real phenomenon. The Seahawks are clearly two different teams away and at home.
They really are.
They really are. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's an extreme case for every visitor, no matter who they are, and when they go on the road, when Seattle goes on the road and they actually win, especially when they go across country, like they did with Carolina, it's always a big surprise when they actually do pull out the victory.
Yeah, and that was a total shock. By the way, we track this at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. And by the way, Pat, we're offering a free trial to Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. If anybody wants to check it out, go to Cold Hard Football Facts, click the Picks and Trends button, the yellow button, Picks and Trends, where we do all our weekly picks and provide all our point spread trends and everything else. But one of the things we looked at the other day was the best teams home and away against the spread. Home and away. I guess I'm repeating myself now. But the worst team on the road since 2000 against the spread is the Seattle Seahawks, and one of the best teams at home are the Seattle Seahawks. No team has a greater disparity between how they perform away and at home. And I don't know if it's a matter of is it a good team that plays poorly on the road or a bad team that plays well at home in front of that 12th man. I mean, we'll find out a lot more with the Patriots game. But I think the key right now is that this Seattle team actually has a legit defense right now. And I know we got some numbers in our top five this week that kind of back that up.
That is correct. The CHFF top five that we'll go through is for defensive real passing yards per attempt, one of our quality stats. Seattle comes in, and I'll just spoil it right now. I'll just take all the suspense out. Seattle is number one in our defensive real passing yards per attempt, which basically means that, you know, they're giving up, you know, a 5.03 is their DRP right now.
Yeah, and what makes real passing yards per attempt different, Pat, just for the listeners, different than just passing yards per attempt? We count the impact of sacks. That's why it's real passing yards per attempt. Because a lot of times you look at that number and it just means every time a quarterback throws the ball, well, you know what? That number discounts the impact of sacks. So we want to know how much are those sacks impacting a team's ability to get the ball down the field, whether on offense or defense. So we count every sack as a pass attempt and subtract the yardage from passing totals. So right now, number one, as you said, Seattle, 5.03 yards per attempt. That means every time the opposing quarterback drops back, they're gaining only 5 yards, which is a really, really great number from the point of view of the Seattle defense.
Yeah, and this is the same defense that swarmed Aaron Rodgers for 8 sacks in the first half of the Week 4 game Monday night. They were quelled a little bit more by the Rams the following week, but this is going to be a really tough game for the Patriots. And I would not be surprised one bit if Seattle won this game, based off of the fact that they're at home and. That defense will swarm Brady. If he's uncomfortable, it could be one of those 16-13 bloodbaths that Seattle loves to play.
Yeah, and I agree. And what's interesting, what makes this a compelling strategic advantage for the Seahawks, and if you look at the rest of the top five, Patrick, and this number in real passing yards per attempt defensively, the best, stingiest defenses in terms of allowing opposing offenses down the field, it's the cream of the crop of the NFL right now. With Seattle, I mean, Seattle, you wonder what they would be doing right now if they had a legit, you know, quarterback. Russell Wilson doing okay for a rookie, but clearly not a legit big-time quarterback right now. But this is the cream of the crop. You know, if you look, I don't know if you want to run through it, I can run through it.
Yeah, but, no. Right behind Seattle is their good old rival and Super Bowl favorite San Francisco 49ers, who have just skyrocketed through all the quality stats over the last 2 weeks with their this punishment of the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they've been unbelievable, and we talked a little bit with Russell about how good they've been. And by the way, they're not only lights out in number two in passing yards per attempt defensively, they're tied with the Houston Texans, who I think everyone agrees is a, you know, those are my, by the way, preseason Super Bowl favorites, our preseason Super Bowl favorites at Cold Hard Football Facts. And one of the reasons being they lights out pass defenses, and we've seen that again this year, tied for second behind Seattle in that indicator.
Yeah, and then the biggest surprise out of the top five to me, the Minnesota Vikings. They're they have the fourth best ranking in the real yards per attempt at 5.17 YPA. How are the Vikings doing this? That's my question, because I would have guessed that the Vikings would have been in the bottom five, not just in statistics, but in the standings too. And now they've exceeded expectations. What is the secret to this?
Well, you know, the secret to any turnaround in the NFL is very simple. Last year, they went 3-13. They're already 4-1. They've already won more games than they won last year. And if you want to look, folks, at any team that has a dramatic turnaround, whether it's offensively or defensively, whether the team improved dramatically or declined dramatically, you will always find the answer. You will always find the answer in their passing efficiency on either one side of the ball or both in the case of the Minnesota Vikings. Teams live and die with their ability to pass the ball efficiently or make opposing passes inefficient. We see it through any team throughout NFL history. And the reason the 49ers went 3-13 last year is they had the second worst defensive passer rating. Not last year, it was the worst last year. They had the second worst defensive passer rating in NFL history, behind only the 0-16 Lions of 2008. It's no coincidence that the worst, least efficient pass defense in history was also, you know, was possessed by the team with the worst record in history. The 49ers were really bad on pass defense last year. They were really bad on passing offense, and they're dramatically improved on both sides of the ball, Patrick. And that's why they're suddenly better. I don't know what changed specifically, internally, schematically, other than the fact that, you know, they're just playing better on defense. They have some talented guys like Jared Allen, and Christian Ponder has obviously advanced, you know, improved dramatically from his rookie year to his second year. Right now, they are a very dangerous team on both sides of the ball in terms of passing efficiency and making opposing quarterbacks inefficient. And that's why they're a dramatically improved team. It's all about passing efficiency. And anytime you see a great improvement or a great decline, look at those numbers and you will absolutely 100% find the answers.
The number five team, by the way, to finish out those rankings, we are suspenseless top five rankings.
Yeah, you went. Yeah. We ruined the suspense early on.
The Chicago Bears, and that's another. Speaking of teams that you don't want to play if you're a quarterback, the Chicago Bears, number five with 5.19 yards per attempt, and I don't. You know what? The way that they just manhandled the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half. They're going to be putting some pain and some pressure on a lot of people, I think, for the rest of the year. And right now they're probably, I would say that they're the odds-on favorite for that NFC North crown, even though they're tied with the Vikings.
I would agree, and I think what we've seen also in recent weeks is that you give Jay Cutler a little time, and he can throw the football, Pat. I mean,
and he'll still have a surly face, but he'll throw it. Yeah,
yeah, he's not a warm, fuzzy looking guy, is he? But you know, give him a little time, you know, and you compare what he can do with a great defense, and this team can win. You know, the five teams on this list, two of them are the architects of the three biggest blowouts in the NFL this year. The number one blowout was the 49ers versus the Bills here in week five on Sunday. The number two blowout was the Bears over the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday. And the number three blowout was San Francisco 34-0 over the Jets last week. And, you know, one reason they're able to blow these teams out, they have great pass defenses. And by the way, the top five teams on this list, this is why this is a quality stat. This is why real passing yards per attempt is a real quality stat. The top five teams in this stat defensively are combined 16-4, including one undefeated team. It just kind of goes to prove that it pays to make life miserable on opposing quarterbacks. You win a lot of games, and nobody does it better than the Seattle Seahawks right now.
Yes, and Tom Brady, what is going to be his secret to defending himself against the Seattle pass rush? Does he even have a prayer?
Well, you know what? He definitely has a prayer, and I think what we're going to do, Pat, on the other side, we're going to take a break now here at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into some very deep details of the Seahawks. Seahawks and Patriots, New England's visit out to Seattle. We're also going to talk to Patriots Hall of Famer Drew Bledsoe. We'll do all that on the other side of the break.
The Cold Hard Football Facts, helping guys not meet girls since 2004.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
It is now time for the Frankie C. Report with America's number one purveyor of Tom Brady pajamas, Frankie C.
Wow, Frankie C., our favorite caller, stepping up in the world, got his own bumper music and intro, and I think the great Patrick Emig was behind that introduction, Frankie C.
I want to say thank you to Patrick Emig. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
So, Frankie, you usually bring, you know, what we like about you. There's not much, but what we do like about you is that you bring some historical perspective to the Cold Hard Football Facts here. I assume you got something good for us this week.
I got a couple items for you. You know what? You know what's funny is that you probably, as little as you like about me, you probably like more than I do.
Yeah, you are a master of self-loathing. I do know that.
I don't care much for me.
But the thing is, Frank, about you, you go from like bombastic self-celebration to self-loathing, like in 4.2 seconds flat.
I'm a conundrum wrapped in an enigma.
You are the Usain Bolt of bipolarity. You really are. I mean, nobody moves as fast as you do when it ranges from self-loathing to self-celebration. So
gold record, gold medal in mental disabilities.
So what's going on? What do we got?
All right, well, let's take it from the top. On this date, October 10th in 1868, we have our first written account of a Canadian football game. So I'm not sure who was responsible for that, but I think you owe them a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? It's the first account of an American football game was 1869. Rutgers beat Princeton 6-4. I do know that in 1869. That's what a sad sack I am. I'm not as familiar with Canadian football history, but I'm kind of disappointed to learn that Canada beat us to the punch here. I imagine the sports were quite a bit different, though, as football was in general 150 years ago.
Well, you know, it's one small feather in Canada's cap. Yeah. Congratulations, Canada.
I don't even know if Canada was a country in 1868. It might have still been, you know, part of the English Empire. I'm gonna Google this as we go on, because I need to know when Canada became a country.
All right, I'll move on as you're doing that. Hey, in 1920, you want to talk stifling defenses? The then Chicago Cardinals. You know, the Phoenix Cardinals, however, then located in Chicago, played their first NFL game today, and they played to a 0-0 tie.
It was quite a different sport back then. What people don't know, and it's the Arizona Cardinals, by the way, Frank, not the Phoenix Cardinals.
All right. Well,
see, you're much better in history than you are in contemporary football.
Well, there's your Wikipedia problem right there.
People don't realize that the Cardinals are one of the – there's only two original franchises still playing football, and both were from Chicago. One's the Chicago Bears now, who were not in Chicago back then. They were in Decatur. They were the Decatur Staleys for a couple of years before moving to Chicago.
You know what – can I interrupt?
Sure.
Do you know what year they moved to Chicago?
1922.
No, it was 1921.
Oh, I was off by a year.
I know that because they became the Chicago Staleys today – in 1921.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So it's an enormous day for Chicago football.
This is Chicago Day here on CHFF.
Well, you know what's interesting? People don't realize that the Cardinals, because they play in Arizona, they play in the NFC West, they seem like kind of a glitzy new wave team, but they're one of two original franchises. It's not the Packers and the Bears. It's the Bears and the Cardinals, who basically followed the old Route 66. They went from Chicago to St. Louis to Phoenix, you know, a kind of, you know, traversing the country. But the thing is, they are the worst franchise in NFL history. I think before Kurt Warner came quarterback and won three or four playoff games with them, their entire history, they had won two postseason games from 1920 to 2008. Can you believe, like 88, 89 seasons, they had won two postseason games. Always been an inept organization.
That's what happens when you have Neil Lomax and Kent Graham as two of your quarterbacks.
And Neil Lomax might have been the best quarterback in franchise history, him and Jim Hart.
Until Kurt Warner.
Until Kurt Warner, which is why Kurt Warner brought two bad franchises to the Super Bowl. He is absolutely a Hall of Famer. I totally drink the Kurt Warner Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm into Kurt Warner too. I mean, you gotta love the story. Cinderella boy comes out of nowhere. Just like Frankie C.
All right, anything else happened on this day?
Today, in 1994, the New York Giants retired Lawrence Taylor's number 56. Big day for LT.
He went on a mega Coke binge, I think, right afterward, right? He celebrated with a few eight balls and some hookers.
I think he did that before they retired.
I think that was the white elephant in the conversation, because I was thinking it too.
Somebody had to bring it up, right?
Right.
All right. Today also.
Hey, by the way, I think it might have been Steve D'Ossi. I don't want to put words in someone's mouth, but someone who played with Taylor for the Giants, who has a connection to New England, I think it was D'Ossi. I think it has some shady story of like being in some like gangster bar with Lawrence Taylor when he was like totally like freaked out. I can't do the story justice. I'm going to look up the story and share it next week. The Steve D'Ossi Lawrence Taylor nightmare bar story.
I heard a Steve D'Ossi anecdote that wound up with him winding up at some dog fighting ring at somebody's house.
Was it Michael Vick's house?
No, this was years before the Michael Vick thing. He was new on the team. He was new on the team and wound up getting dragged to this dog fighting ring. Said he found it very disturbing.
I'm not a big dog guy, as you know, Frank, which is like saying it's like saying you're the lowest human being in the world. I don't kick dogs, but I do, I never had one. So I'm not a big dog guy, but what's the appeal of dog fighting?
I can't talk to you anymore, Gary.
I like hot dogs, Pat.
There you go.
Back in the game.
But I don't see why do people like to watch animal, like cockfighting, dog fighting. I don't get it.
Human fighting. I'm a big MMA guy. I love that stuff.
Do you know Patrick's a wrestling guy? He's into World War. Sounds like Frank's bachelor party.
Oh my god. Yeah, don't bring that up.
I don't think we can go that low on this show.
Okay, let's get through the birthdays. Today, and it's apropos with my new entrance theme, David Lee Roth is celebrating a birthday, the Van Halen, original Van Halen singer.
How old is David Lee Roth?
Well, he was born in 54, so that makes him, 61, 62, something like that?
No, that makes him 57.
Okay, I was never very good at math.
Thank God for Wikipedia, Frank. You'd be lost without
it. Yeah, I would. I'd be lost without it. All right.
Let's talk about this, because... Are you a Van Halen guy, or did you ever segue into Van Hagar?
I loved them both. I liked both species of Van Halen.
Yeah,
I was a big fan.
Pat,
but if I had to choose, it would be David Lee Roth.
Pat, what about you?
I don't discriminate against either faction either. I think they both produce quality music, and they both had songs that transcended into television commercials too. So that both Van Hagar and David Lee Roth have that going for them. I don't understand why there's some people that say, one of them's not as good as the other. It's like, well, it's not really the point. It's about listening to the music. If you enjoy it,
Well, you know what's funny? Let me throw, everyone who's like a rock fan claims that they like David Lee Roth Van Halen better, right? It's like, it's almost like saying, I don't know. I don't know what it's like. It's like saying you're less of a man if you liked Van Halen with Sammy Hagar for some reason.
No, you know what it boils down
to? But those were all the biggest selling albums with Sammy Hagar. That's what people bought.
Well, in here, I'll explain it. Your rock fans are David Lee Roth fans because Roth rocked. Now, your pop fans are Sammy Hagar fans. And I'd venture to say that there are far more pop fans than there are rock fans, nationwide. There you go. Boom. You're welcome.
No, I think that's part of it. But it's just, people pretend they don't like it. But the fact of the matter is more people are buying it. By the way, I got a pretty funny, not a funny Sammy Hagar story, but I interviewed him right here in Gillette Stadium, probably a couple, I don't know, sections over from where I am right now. And Leanne Rimes' dressing room, he was pitching. I was doing something on Sammy Hagar's A Line of Tequila. And I was doing a story on it. So I came down. Before, he was opening for Kenny Chesney, believe it or not.
Wow.
It was back in the country
festival. Was Peyton Manning with him?
No, that would have been a pretty good interview, though.
Peyton Manning was found in Kenny Chesney's locker room or dressing room.
But Hagar was a pretty good guy, man. I was, I'm doing a story on his tequila, so he, he's not going to be a DB, And I don't mean defensive back.
Right.
But the thing is, we were in Leanne Rimes' in dressing room, and I've always had a thing for Leanne Rimes.
Yes.
So I was kind of hoping
the filthy old man sort of way.
Listen, she's at least 18 now.
But, it's been a 20-year
crush,
like Leanne
though.
Rimes,
how do you explain that? Don't like dogs? What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I'm a disturbed man. But there was a point to my story, and I forgot it. But what? Oh, I don't even know what the point was now. But Sammy Hagar was opening for Kenny Chesney. I always found that weird.
And you met him. Brush with greatness.
No, I was hoping for a brush with greatness in the form of Leanne Rimes, and it kind of fell apart for me. Damn you, Sammy!
I guess as it relates to Van Halen, you had a brush with
barbecue goodness. Brush.
I'm sorry.
Do we got any other birthdays, Frank?
We have one more birthday, but I think for this one we need some NFL film-style background music.
Kevin, do we get any NFL films background music? Well, this should be good.
It's going to take me a minute, so just go.
All right.
Never mind. Today we celebrate the birth of the big kid, the gunslinger, Brett Favre.
No way!
Yeah, that's right. Brett Favre, NFL quarterback, is 43 today.
Well,
balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
All right.
Frank tried to be a Packer that night in New Orleans.
Everybody's wearing their Wrangler jeans today at a celebration.
It's a big day for Wrangler.
You know what's ironic? I bought Wrangler jeans up in Maine yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I did, too. I haven't had a pair of Wrangler jeans in 30 years.
You'll be a big hit at the Quincy reunion.
I'll be a big hit at the Brett Favre birthday celebration.
Yeah,
some tight pants you got on.
But I like Brett Favre because he's older than me, but the Cold Hard Football Facts were, the first year we started Cold Hard Football Facts in 2004, and I remember that year Brett Favre was playing on Monday Night Football. I forget who it was, and they had the Brett Favre farewell tour, and ESPN was doing all these things about how great Brett Favre was. This is the last time he's playing on Monday Night Football, and I wrote the story, and I said, Michelle Tafoya at the end was talking about the strides he made as a human being, typical ESPN hyperbole, and I think the headline of the story was, "Please shoot me now." and little did we know that was at the beginning of a six-year Brett Favre farewell tour love fest on ESPN that honestly turned me off to him as a player. I couldn't watch him after that. It got so annoying, that the Brett Favre overkill.
No, you know what?
That was probably the same game where they had his wife, Deanna, read a poem called Our Favre, and Tony Kornheiser, I think, recited a poem, too. It was really nasty and really disgusting, and it made me want to throw up and dislike football altogether.
So you were on the same boat. Let's put it this way. I like dogs more than Brett Favre.
Hey, do you think that that Tim Tebow is going the same way of Brett Favre at this point? Because, you know what, as much as I love that guy, I have to admit, I am getting Tebowed out for a guy that doesn't even play.
Yeah, I mean, it's too much. I'd love to see the guy give a shot and see if he can do it and see if he can put, do something with the Jets. But, it is bizarre, the phenomenon that he is, that people love him more. It's not, to me, it's more a matter of, Frank, that ESPN overkill. They stick their teeth into a storyline and don't let go until they've written it for everything it's worth. It's kind of, and Pat and I talked about this over the years, kind of bonding over Brett Favre. We called him Old Yeller. That's what I was our nickname for him on Cold Hard Football Facts. We called Brett Favre Old Yeller because even the little boy in Old Yeller knew, at one point his dog was the best in the prairie. Old Yeller once was the best dog in the prairie, but even the little boy Travis knew it was time to put Old Yeller out of his misery. Bingo. And NFL teams never got it. And it just year after year, one for 10 straight years, he cost his team big games in the playoffs with critical interceptions. He was, at his peak, he was as good as there ever was, but in his later years, he wasn't nearly as good as they made him out to be. It got annoying. I couldn't listen to it anymore.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And whenever I get text messages from Brett Favre, I just delete them right away.
You better. Don't open it. If it's a picture message, you better leave it closed, Pat.
So we caught
it. I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
Where'd you find that, Kevin?
That was the SNL spoof they did.
Oh, well, okay.
While in zippers and buttons slow you down. With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
Actually, there's some wisdom
to out there.
He was just having fun out there, that's for sure. Here's what we wrote on November 29th, 2004. I was able to dig this up. Monday Night Favre Ball, ABC's Monday Night, this is on when it was on ABC, the Monday Night Favre Ball broadcast officially bottomed out at 12:03 Tuesday morning when sideline reporter Michelle Tafoya quoted Brett Favre's wife Deanna about the tremendous strides Brett has made as a human being. Please kill us. Never in the history of television have we been bombarded with such a parade of pandering pabulum passed off as sports reporting. The Monday Night Favre Fest began long before kickoff with an endless loop of Brett Favre clips and replays over the airwaves. Guys, this was 6 years before he retired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this was pretty... This was pretty rough. So yeah. anyway, Frank, we gotta bid you farewell. We gotta take a break, and on the other side, we're gonna be talking to Patriots Hall of Famer turned winemaker Drew Bledsoe, talk a little bit about his days with the Patriots, what he has going on right now. We will talk to Drew on the other side of the break.
Cold, hard football facts. Our facts can beat up your opinions.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
You're as cold as ice.
These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
Hello, football fans. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts. I am Kerry J. Byrne, and I'm very excited to be joined right now by Patriots Hall of Famer and also turned winemaker, Drew Bledsoe. You know, we like to talk a bit about tailgating and food in the second half of the show. We thought Drew would be a great guest, especially with the Patriots playing in his home state this week. Drew, are you there on the line?
I'm here. How's it going today?
It's going great. Going great. We're very excited you had some time to join us. You know, Drew, I wanted to tell you, I've been a lifelong Bostonian, and this city is famous for kind of turning its backs on its sports greats, you know, whether it was Ted Williams, who had a terrible time here, Roger Clemens when he left, but not to buddy you up in any way, this is true. This is as someone who grew up here. I don't know anyone who has a bad word to say about your time here. In fact, a funny story, the woman who cuts my hair, her boyfriend, has not followed the Patriots. He's now a Ravens fan since you left the team. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so
oh,
that's cool. You still have a lot of support and a lot of fans here. And the first thing I want to ask you, Kevin Falk just retired. I know you spent a few years with him. Was he one of the players you ever got to get close with? Or what are some of the things you know about him? It seems he's one of those foundation players like you were that kind of helped turn around the franchise.
Yeah, Kevin was a special player. You know, when we were together there for a couple years, you know, he was a role player, a third down back, and he's a guy that I think really exemplifies what the Patriots have done and what they've been able to do to maintain their high level of success over a long period of time. You know, he was a guy that came in, had a pretty limited role early on, and then developed over the years into a guy that was a foundational type of player for the Patriots. You know, he continued to improve throughout his career, continued to take on larger and larger roles with the team, and by the end of his career was a guy that everybody leaned on very, very heavily in the locker room as a leader. And that's, you know, those are the kinds of guys, the high character guys that the Patriots have built their franchise around. You know, the guys that have obviously you got to be talented to play in the league, and you could be talented to play for the Patriots, but in terms of allowing themselves to continue to be successful, they bring in guys of high character, and Kevin certainly exemplified that in his career.
Now, were you aware, you were obviously drafted in 1993, the number one pick is out of Washington State. You were a junior coming out too, I believe, right?
Yep, I was just a kid.
And
I turned 21 at the scouting combine and came in there to New England as a, you know, just a fresh-faced college kid out of the middle of nowhere out here in Washington. And, you know, I really did, you know, I've said this a number of times, but I really did grow up in New England.
Yeah.
You know, I got there, I was single, I was 21, just out of college when I left. I was, you know, married, had three kids, and you know, had a big life outside of football as well. So I really did grow up out there, and I will forever be thankful to the Boston fans and the New England fans that embraced me as one of their own while I was there.
And I think that's reciprocated. And one reason being, I'm looking right now at Patriots history. These are the 3 years before you joined the team, Drew. And I don't know how familiar you were with the organization before you got here, but 1990, I think your freshman year in college, they were 1-15. 1991, they had a great season. They were 6-10. 1992, they were 2-14. I mean, you were drafted, obviously being drafted number one, you were drafted by not just the worst team in football that year. I mean, this is one of the worst teams in football for several years. Were you cognizant of the fact of kind of the Herculean task that was put on your shoulders to help, you know, change around a franchise? Obviously, you came in with Bill Parcells, new ownership the following year. It was kind of a three-legged stool, if you will. But were you cognizant of that at all? Or being a kid, did you just not even care? You were just here to play football.
Well, you got to remember, too, that at that time, you know, it was really pre-internet, and you know, there was really only one sports station out there, that was ESPN.
Yep.
And so growing up on the West Coast, you know, even if the Patriots were successful, it was not a team I got to see very much.
Yep.
And, you know, with them struggling through some tough times, you know, we didn't get to see the Patriots play very much. You know, we really didn't. You know, we were stuck watching the Seahawks, which, you know, they They were hit and miss there at the time, but obviously hadn't been very good the year before because they had the second pick that year.
Yep.
But no, it was not a team that I was very familiar with, and I knew that they had not had much success. Matter of fact, there were only a couple of guys that I knew that were Patriots, you know, before I got drafted. One being Andre Tippett, who obviously has gone on to become a member of the Professional Football Hall of Fame. You know, was aware of Andre, and then the other one was Irving Fryer, and Irving was shown the door right as I was coming in. So I really didn't know much of anybody when I got there. I knew some of the old guys. I knew Steve Grogan and John Hanna, and some of those guys. And Grogan was very, very kind to me when I got there. He was still around and kind of took me under his wing a little bit and showed me around. But it was not a team that I knew very well. I knew that they had not been very successful. And for me, you know, growing up in a small town and then playing football in a small town way out here in the Pacific Northwest, it was
culture shock.
It was like being transplanted to the other side of the world. So it was a wake up call for me. But grew to have great affection for the area and great affection for the people, and obviously proud of the teams that I was able to be a part of. That along with, you know, the stewardship of Robert Kraft and his family, turned the Patriots into what they are today, which is in my mind, the marquee franchise in the National Football League.
Well, from my perspective as a kid who grew up here, there was a moment in your rookie year where I knew this franchise had turned a corner. I think every fan at the stadium that day knew. But I'd like to hear your perspective on it and see what you thought was kind of the franchise turning moment. But it was the last game of your rookie year. It was January 2nd. You were playing the Miami Dolphins, and you were battling, I believe, Dan Marino. And you threw a touchdown pass in overtime to win the game. The Patriots won four straight at the end of the year after, you know, a terrible beginning. Close out with four big wins, including a win over the Dolphins. And I remember that place was electric. The team was only 5-11, but it was your rookie. I think everyone in the stadium that day sensed something was different about this organization. I don't know if you felt that consciously while you were here, whether it was that game or another time, or if it was something you were cognizant of.
I was young and inexperienced, and I was just trying to. It was play to play for me. I wasn't aware of the implications of what was happening, but I did recognize. You know, we had a very young team in those years. The nucleus of the team was very, very young. And I knew that I was surrounded by a lot of guys that were high character guys, that were hardworking guys, and there really weren't egos involved in the organization at that point, and still haven't been to this day. You know, it was just a bunch of guys that were going to punch the clock and go to work, and so I felt like I was at the very least surrounded by a bunch of good guys.
Yep.
And obviously some talented players as well. But the stretch to me that really got me fired up about where we were headed, was the following season in 94 when we were able to start stringing together wins at the end of that season to make it into the playoffs. That was when I felt like, you know, we were starting to turn the corner. Unfortunately, we had a little hiccup in 95 before we, went on to go to the Super Bowl in 96. But I really felt like, when we made that run in 94, that the organization was turning in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now, seven straight wins, I think, to enter the playoffs in 1994, which is, unheard of around here at the time, Drew, which is why people were so excited. So, listen, you said you came here as a kid, you grew up here, and one of the things you grew up to be is kind of a wine connoisseur. You're in the wine business today, Double Back Winery. When did you're a small town kid. When did you develop that palate? When did you become a wine guy along the way?
Oh, geez, you know, it was a progression. You know, over time. When I was young, we mostly just drank beer, and that's what we were into. And you seem like a beer.
You know, you have kind of the earthy, you know, down to earth beer guy type of rep. You know,
it was pretty funny that, you know, the Applebee's there in Franklin, which is right across the street from where I live, they actually brought in a beer that I liked especially for me to have there, because I probably ate dinner at that restaurant three or four times a week at that time. Yep. I was out by myself, and I'd grab Zolak and Rucci and Kevin Turner and Todd Collins and Eugene Chung and Pat Harlow and all those guys that were kind of in the same situation. We would have dinner there, you know, three or four times a week, and they brought in some Henry Weinhardt's Red so that I'd had a little taste of home at my local restaurant. But it really was, you know, probably 4 or 5 years into the league when my wife moved out with me. We got married and started to do something a little bit different. And wine was something that, you know, that every layer I uncovered, it got more interesting. You start learning about different regions of the world and why different wines are successful in different parts of the world. And then, as luck would have it, my little hometown of Walla Walla, Washington, the valley that we live in, and there are a lot of reasons behind it, but that little valley had started to produce some of the best wine grapes in the world.
What's the name of the valley? Because I know Eastern Washington is hop country. I'm a beer guy.
Yeah, right. No, it's there's the Yakima Valley,
which is a hop growing region.
The greater Columbia Valley, and there are grapes kind of grown all over Eastern Washington, particularly Southeastern Washington now. But originally that was hop country, and Walla Walla was wheat country, and there were just a handful of guys that started growing some wine grapes there, and turns out they were producing this fantastic fruit that was producing truly world-class wines. So that passion grew, and as I started to get deeper into my career, recognized that this was not that football wasn't going to last forever, that even if I was, you know, phenomenally successful, I wasn't going to play, you know, deep into my 30s. So, you know, I knew that I had to have something else to apply that passion and focus and interest into. You know, I'm not good enough at golf to go do that every day, so I had to have something to step into that was going to get me excited to get out of bed in the morning and go do something productive. And, you know, wine was something that just was highly interesting to me on multiple levels. You're a farmer first, then you're a winemaker, and then you're into marketing, distribution, and fulfillment, all of those things. And it's proved to be every bit of that. It's been really exciting for us. It requires phenomenal patience, both personally and financially, to get there. But we're there now. It's turning into a successful business for us. The wines have continued to get good reviews for us. The only thing that's hard for me is obviously we still have a decent following out there in Massachusetts. The thing that's difficult for us out there is that we can't ship our wine directly to our customers out there. We have to go through distribution, which makes it a little bit more difficult to reach our fan base out there with the stuff that we're producing. But overall, it's been a really great business for us.
But Doubleback is available in retail accounts here in Boston, is that correct?
It is, yeah. There's a handful of stores there that have it. I don't know how much is left at this point. Honestly, we didn't send that much to the state just because we don't make very much yet. But, yeah, there are a handful of retail spots out there that carry it, and obviously some of the restaurants that we enjoyed there in the New England area.
Do you know any restaurants off the top of your head, anywhere someone can go and try it, or is that?
Oh, geez, you know, I know Grill 23 had it for a while. Okay. I don't know if they still have it or not. And I think we're at, Morton's and Del Frisco's.
Okay.
Some of the big steakhouses where you would expect it.
Okay. And you told me, I interviewed you right before the Super Bowl, and you told me that Filippo's in the North End was your go-to restaurant. Do you remember
Filippo's
that place?
They always took such great care of us up there. You know, the food was great in the North End. There's so many great restaurants in the North End, but Filippo's, they really took great care of us. And you know, we had great meals whenever we went up into the city up there.
Yep. The Frattaroli's there are actually the owners there, friends of mine. But one of them told me, Phil Frattaroli, one of the owners told me that when you were injured, you got your takeout dinner from from Filippo's that night, and that Tom Brady went over and picked up your meal for you. Is that just a legend that he's telling? Or?
No, I think that's probably accurate. Yeah, Tommy's a great guy, man.
Yep.
We've been able to maintain a good friendship through the years, and been able to watch his success. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You know, Tommy obviously has had really unparalleled success on the field, but he's been able to do all of it and still maintain total class in everything that he does. And makes me proud to call him a friend, and really happy to see that his success has transcended just what he's done on the field. But he's a good family man and good member of the community and just doing so many good things.
Well, here's a couple of comments about you on Facebook right now from some of our listeners. Barry Insowing, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right, Barry, but he says, Drew was a spark to the new era of Patriots football, which I think a lot of people around here feel. And one reader asks, I can't see the name right now, it's not coming up, but if you had one receiver you could throw the ball to for the game-winning touchdown 20 yards downfield, in your career, who would that be? Is there anyone who was your go-to guy that you would trust to catch that game?
Oh, man, you know, I was fortunate to play with some really, really great ones. Obviously, Troy Brown, who we just honored this fall and brought him into the Patriots Hall of Fame. You know, there were so many guys, but if I had to pick one from my career as a Patriot, it would have to be Ben Coates.
Oh yeah,
Ben was a guy that he bailed me out of a lot of situations. He bailed me out of a lot of bad throws, and he was a guy that you know, it didn't matter how many guys were hanging on him, he was going to pull the ball in. You know, he was just a special player.
Yeah, he was. I could still pitch him rumbling down the field. I mean, he was a monster. He was the Gronk before Gronkowski. You know.
Yeah, so. He was kind of the. You know, I saw a poster, a big poster up in Patriots Place of Ben when I was out there, and it occurred to me that, you know, with all the tight ends that are doing so well in the league right now, Ben was really the prototype
yeah.
for those guys. You know, he was the Gronkowski and the, you know, before Gronkowski existed. You know, he's a guy that truly played tight end. He was an outstanding blocker. But then when you put the ball in his hands, or in my case, anywhere near him, he would pull the ball in, and then he was faster than the linebackers. He was bigger than the defensive backs. And if he started rolling down the field, nobody could catch him. My very first touchdown pass in the NFL, I threw it about 2 yards on fourth down, against the Bills, and Ben took and rumbled the rest of the way to the end zone for about a 50-yard touchdown. And, you know, I think he also caught my longest ever touchdown pass, which was a hot route that I threw in the flat, and then he ran with it for 80 some yards.
Yeah, what game was that? I can picture him rumbling down the field, and I can't recall the game.
I think it was against the Dolphins.
Okay.
They brought a blitz. I threw a hot route to him out in the flat, and he outran everybody to the end zone. So he really, Ben, you know, was a guy that really broke the mold, and really, you know, he was a tight end that would have fit very nicely into the way the position is being played these days, where you've got these big guys that can block a little bit and still go catch a pass and do something with it. You know, the only other tight end that was really in his league as a receiver was Shannon Sharpe from the Broncos,
yep.
But he was just a glorified receiver. He wasn't trying to block people in the running game nearly as much as Ben was.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta be jealous that they're not playing today. When you look at even a guy like Ben Coates, who was the best of his era, they weren't putting up nearly the numbers as a Gronkowski or a Jimmy Graham or all of these guys in this new era of tight ends. I mean, the position was, it was a secondary receiving position, even in the case of Ben Coates. You know, in 94, I know he had 96 catches, but for whatever reason, the game's evolved where those guys are primary targets now in a way they've never have been.
Sure, sure. Well, it makes sense. You know, when you think about it, you got these big, amazing athletes that, you know, can help you in the running game, and then, you know, when they release out into a pass pattern, you know, they're big enough to bounce off of linebackers, and they're too big for defensive backs to handle, you know, so they can present real matchup problems, which you're seeing certainly with Gronkowski and also with Aaron Hernandez. Hopefully he's back on the field here shortly.
Yep.
Because that gives the Patriots a pretty amazing 1-2 punch at that position.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Drew, we're running up on the break here, but I want to thank you for your time. I want to invite folks to check out Double Back Wine for the next, you know, tailgate party or just, you know, out at the restaurant or whenever. I know it's good stuff, and we appreciate your time, Drew, and you still have a lot of fans here back in Boston. All right, thanks for your time, Drew. All right, folks, well, we appreciate all Drew's time there. We are going to jump to a break. When we come back, we're going to break down Patriots Seahawks quickly and dive into a couple other big games. We'll talk to you folks on the other side.
Cold Hard Football Facts, a member of the FootballNation.com family.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com presents Unsolved Gridiron Mysteries.
Unsolved Gridiron Mysteries.
On Sunday afternoon, September 30th, around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the defense of the Buffalo Bills went missing in the vicinity of Ralph Wilson Stadium. From that point, the Bills surrendered 90 points over a span of three halves of football. Most surprising is the NFL's investigation. Not into the whereabouts of Mario Williams and his defensive teammates, but the injury sustained on Mario's wrist. If you have any information about the disappearance of Mario Williams in the Buffalo Bills defense, call our Unsolved Pigskin Mystery Hotline at 1-800-876-5353. Maybe you can help solve a pigskin mystery. Up next, a man in a pickup truck scares everyone when he shows up with a shotgun and abducts several women as part of a horrible meth deal gone terribly wrong.
I thought he was trying to find a new defense for the Buffalo Bills, for Dave Wanstead and the Buffalo Bills.
It's good to have the ghost of Robert Stack with us on the show.
It's amazing how we're able to channel all these legends in the space of a couple of segments, Pat.
Yeah, well, it's what happens when you live your life through the lens of Cold Hard Football Facts.
And the lens of your kind of deviant pop culture connections. You were like deeply connected to things that happened, you know, long before your life. It's kind of troubling.
Yeah, one of my business partners called me a Renaissance man, so I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
But I like Voice of God. I mean, not only do you have the John Facenda thing you can do, but you do all these other voices. It's quite a gift.
We'll have to. Maybe I'll start calling myself the man of a thousand voices.
All I can do is the really fast Boston accent thing. I'm not very versatile.
You've definitely got that one down pat.
It's a gift. It really is. So, listen. Speaking of that, Bills defense. I mean, I did a whole story. We did a lot on our Cold Hard Football Facts. I wrote about it on Yahoo Sports this week. 90 points in the last six quarters of football, that's 60 points per game for those of you keeping score at home, the equivalent thereof. That's pretty frightening. This team can't do anything, and it's one reason if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm not too excited about that win, because that defense can't stop anybody, as we saw against the 49ers this week. And I think the Patriots have to step it up, Pat, if they're gonna do some damage against the Seattle Seahawks and one of the best defenses in football.
Yeah, that's for certain. And with the Bills, they're a lot like the Kansas City Chiefs, where they went out and had a couple of off-season signings, and people were expecting big things out of them, and they've just been absolutely terrible the last six quarters, like you said. As far as this week, the big contest against the 12th man in Seattle, the Patriots and Seahawks are a lot more evenly matched when it comes to quality stats than people might think. Am I correct with that assumption?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, the Patriots are favored on the road. And by the way, you can get all our picks and analysis. We size up every team in every game in 20 different quality stats. And by the way, offering this week a free weekly trial of Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. So go to Cold Hard Football Facts, click the stats and picks button, and kind of see what goes on behind the scenes at Cold Hard Football Facts. A lot of great analysis and picks and trends that you can't get anywhere else. And one of the things we do, Pat, is, you know, we size up every opponent in 20 different quality stats each week. And this is not a statistical blowout for the Patriots by any means. The Patriots number 7 overall in our quality stats power rankings. The Seahawks number 15. The Patriots number 6 in our relativity index, which is the best predictor of victory in football. It predicts the winners in almost 70% of NFL games. The Patriots number 6 in that indicator. The Seahawks number 14. That's that favors the Patriots, but it's not a dramatic advantage for the Patriots. And then, by the way, Seattle is better in all the defensive indicators. We talked about it earlier in the show. Number 1 in defensive passing yards per attempt. Number 4 in defensive quarterback rating. Number 6 in defensive passer rating. One thing, though, Pat, people, I think, are overvaluing the Seattle pass rush. I don't think it's
as
good
right
as everybody's making it out to be. Let me tell you why. They had those 8 sacks on Monday Night Football in the big Seattle-Green Bay game that everybody saw. But they've only had 8 sacks in the other 18 quarters this season. They've played 20 quarters of football this year. 8 sacks in those 2 quarters in the first half against Green Bay, and 8 the rest of the year. I don't know if that was just they found something that they were able to exploit for a half of football, and then they have not rushed the passer like that before or since. And right now they're 11th. Good, but not great. 11th rushing the passer league-wide, forcing a negative pass play and almost 10% of dropbacks. That's good. But based on what we saw in that Monday night game, Pat, this is not, I don't think, the lights-out defense that everybody thought it would be. That everybody thinks it is, I should say.
Yeah, well, with that coming on Monday night, but if that same game was played on a Sunday afternoon, it would probably be, the interpretation of their defense would probably be a little bit more skewed back to reality, because the fact is it was on Monday night and it was against the Green Bay Packers, one of the odds-on favorites in most people's eyes before the season started. So that probably plays into it. And I guess we'll really kind of see this weekend for sure if the Seahawks' pass rush is, if they can be, a semblance of what it was on that first half on Monday night, or if it's going to be what it's been the other 20 quarters this year. Because I know that, like I said earlier, too, the Rams, they only gave up 2 sacks against – that was the next week. They only gave up 2
yeah.
sacks with the Seahawks' pass rush. And that's going to be the one thing that's going to be the if I had to narrow it down to one thing as far as the difference in the game, it's going to be that Seahawks pass rush, because when Tom Brady has time, he picks apart anybody. And if he's rushed, then he's, as vulnerable
as anybody,
the average quarterback.
Yeah, and right. by the way, and that's what makes it a great matchup, that defense versus the Patriots offense. The linchpin, the Patriots number 1 on the Cold Hard Football Facts Offensive Hog Index, Pat. The number 1 offensive line in football, so they're going to prove it this week if the Patriots are going to have a chance to win this game and win on the road against what we know is a very, very tough place to play. By the way, Pat, I think we have did we have a audition for Michael Irvin for somewhere along the way here this week? Do you know about this?
Yeah, actually, I got it from our HR, the Cold Hard Football Facts Human Resources Director, Lynette.
Okay.
She mentioned that she had gotten her hands on an exclusive audition that Michael Irvin did for, I guess he's trying out for Jay Leno's, to be the front man for Jay Leno's show or something like
that.
Well,
listen, we can't pass on talent like that. Why don't we check out the audition right now?
Okay, fair enough.
And now a Cold Hard Football Facts exclusive. Michael Irvin auditions for the role of Jay Leno's lead singer and frontman on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
You know what I mean? That's funny, Jay. Jay, that may be true. You know what? That may be true.
Jaws. Did you?
I don't know, Pat. I don't know. Did he? I think I need somebody like that. Somebody to just laugh at everything I say. Besides my wife.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much the only criteria that they ever have, I think, for the guys who play the music. You just got to laugh at every joke. And Urban does that quite well. Normally when he laughs, too, he has that, I don't know if you've noticed it, but whenever he's on set on NFL Network, he's always grabbing people, too. He's always grabbing their wrists. So that could play against him in this audition if he has to drop his instrument to go touch someone.
Did you see at the end of the Rams-Cardinals game when the Rams had the big win and Chris Long and who was it, James Laurinaitis were after the show? And Chris Long, we might have talked about this last week, but he made a joke about, we're not used to doing this. We've been so bad. We don't get to do the post game on Monday Night Football. And was it Michael Irvin who basically told him, guys, we're telling you to leave. They were cueing them to leave the set, and the guys wouldn't take the cue. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, Michael Irvin really enjoyed having them. That was fun to watch just because you could tell how excited they were. And one of the things that Chris Long said that might get lost in that post-game interview is the fact that they don't have, as players, the Rams don't have to fool themselves into thinking that they can win now, which tells you a little bit about the morale last year and the leadership of the Spagnuolo team. And, like you said, we're going to win this week, but they didn't really believe it. Now, miraculously, it's only been 5 weeks, but the Rams have one of the most ferocious pass defenses in football.
Yeah, I mean, they've been lights out. I mean, I'm looking at their numbers right now. Third in defensive passer rating. You're going to win even if you have bad quarterback play, and right now the Rams don't have great quarterback play. Number three in defensive passer rating is going to carry a long way. Let's talk about that because it's an AFC East matchup. Patriots fans would be interested. The Dolphins, I think, are not as bad as maybe some expected. Can the Rams go into Miami and win that game, Pat?
They can definitely win the game. I think it's going to be one of those I think it's going to be another defensive struggle. I think these two teams are very evenly matched. I mean, even on in the power rankings, on the quality stats power rankings, it's 12 versus 14.
Yep.
And we saw what the Dolphins did to Andy Dalton last weekend. And Dalton and Green and Andrew Hawkins and that Bengals offense had been one of the most prolific passing offenses the previous few games. Maybe like a 20-17 or 16-13 street fight, which – as the Rams have shown under Fisher, that's that kind of suits their style right now as their offense tries to still kind of evolve. And it's going to be even harder. It's going to have to evolve now with Danny Amendola out. But, they should be able to win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way. I do think the only thing that's going to shock me is if it's a blowout on either side. I don't foresee that happening.
Well, let me throw out some Cold Hard Football Facts right now on the Dolphins on our Cold Hard Football Facts Insider game chart. And the Patriots don't play them till December. They play them twice at the end of the year. And for whatever reason, the schedule makers always seem to send the Dolphins here to New England, like in late December, which is an advantage for the Patriots, obviously. But the Dolphins right now, number one in run defense, number two on our defensive hog index, the second best defensive front in football, number two on third down success. Opponents are converting barely 25% of their third down. So this Miami defense is legit. I mean, it's a pretty good defense. It's not a great defense, but they got some pretty good players, especially up front. I think they're going to give the Rams a good fight, and I think later in the year, Miami might have the defense to slow down the Patriots enough, too.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, I guess struggling for Tom Brady is maybe losing once every 3 years or something. But correct me if I'm wrong, but he has historically struggled a little bit more when going to Miami. Isn't that accurate? At least maybe not the last 2 years, but before that.
Well, the Patriots have had some notable losses to bad Miami teams. I think that happens in division rivalries for whatever reason. But I think the one that was most notable, I can't remember. Honestly, it might have been 2004. I'm not really sure when the Patriots had one of these Super Bowl champion teams. They were like 12-1, and the Dolphins were 1-11. And it was like the biggest disparity in records in like NFL history that late in the year. The Dolphins won the game, and I'm trying to pin down the game right now off the top of my head. But, you know, the Dolphins, here it is right here. I just found it. December 20th, 2004, the Dolphins beat the Patriots in Miami 29-28. The Dolphins were 2-11. Like I said, the Patriots were 12-1, and they somehow found a way to beat, you know, Tom Brady and the dynastic Patriots. In the midst of the greatest two-year run in NFL history, they won 34 games and two Super Bowls over a two-year span, and somehow a very bad Miami team beat them. So don't count out the Dolphins. They got a good defense this year.
Was Jay Fiedler the quarterback that day?
I can tell you, A.J. Feely.
Wow.
They lost to A.J. Feely. So, you know, Tom Brady threw four picks that day, so you're right. They do have some moments here. So anyway, Pat, we gotta wrap up another episode of the Cold Hard Football Facts here on Patriots.com. We thank everybody for listening. Remember, you can hear us every Wednesday live, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. here on Patriots.com. Don't forget to listen to our friends from Fantasy Football Champs on Tuesdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Football Nation Live, Thursdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And always Fred Kirsch, John Rook, and the rest of the great gang here at Patriots.com, dishing out great radio every day. We will talk to you folks next week.
Cold Hard Football Facts, a member of the FootballNation.com family.